Welcome to 3GT, the podcast where three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner, discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome to another episode of Three Guys Theologizing. I hope and trust it is your favorite podcast. And if it is not, we're not interested in which podcast is your favorite. But I am Kyle Borg, the pastor out in Winchester, Kansas. Nobody has ever gotten to Winchester who has not intended to be in Winchester. On this wonderful, cloudy, snowy day, I am joined by my good friends, Scott Hunt, who is a lawyer in Marion, Indiana, an elder in the Reformed Presbyterian Church. And we are joined by president and former pastor, Barry York, who is the president of the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. If it's your first time tuning in with us, we welcome you. If it's your 19th time tuning in, thank you for your endurance and your perseverance. We trust it will be rewarded someday. But today we have a discussion. We are three guys theologizing, after all. And I want to have a theological discussion on angels. I remember when I was about 5 years old, my parents had a couple from church over. And the wife was sharing with us a story that she recently had experienced where she was driving on a snowy, icy Minnesota road. And as she was driving, she got very scared that she was going to go out of control. And she said she began to pray. And as she began to pray, she noticed that there was an angel sitting on her dashboard. Well, as a five-year-old, that scared me to death at the idea of an angel sitting on the dashboard of a car. And I was, I will admit, for many years, terrified at the topic of angels. But hopefully none of you have experienced such childhood trauma. It's real. But hopefully you have overcome as I have. And we are going to talk about what do we biblically know about angels. There's a lot of myths, there's a lot of fantasy, there's a lot of superstition. But biblically, what do we know? And so I want to begin by asking you guys very simply, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin?
I thought you were going to ask us how many can sit on the dashboard of a car.
Which would be a very good application. But really, if you know the medieval church, it is often rumored, debated how many angels can dance on the head of the pin to show how useless scholastic theology was. But maybe to get us started, let me ask you guys, is the topic of angels practical to Christian living? Is there anything practical about this, or is this just something that we discuss for the fun of it with mere speculation?
I think as you look at the early church, just to look at a group of Christians, you look in the book of Acts, you see angels appearing quite a bit to encourage the gospel to be preached or to help rescue God's people when they were in trouble, such as Peter in jail. So they're present in the scriptures. And I think that as we start studying the scriptures, you really begin to realize they're all over the place from the beginning of the Bible to the very end of it. Angels are discussed. So I don't think they're something that we can just simply dismiss in our modern age. I do believe that they're still operating, still God's messengers and still his workers in this world. And so I think we need to pay attention to this topic.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think a lot of times this topic of angels is overblown. People spend too much time on it. And I think that we can have this reactionary response to say, well, they're not important at all. So, I mean, there has to be a biblical balance here. But if the Bible sees fit to describe their worship of the Lord, if the Bible sees fit to give us indication as what they have done, then I think it's important for us to discuss and know at least insofar as the Bible has given us a picture, how they interact with us even today. So it's not some theologically driven topic that only ivory tower types can talk about. It is something that we need to discuss, and we need to be able to have an answer, if for nothing else than to help a five-year-old who hears about an angel sitting on a dashboard so that they can process this.
So let's get into what the Bible teaches specifically concerning angels. And I want to begin with the creation and the existence of angels. What do we know about their creation? Does the Bible tell us what angels are, just generally speaking? What would you guys say to that?
I don't think the Bible just comes right out. It almost just starts operating with the idea that they're assumed, that they're there, they're present. We do find out that, you know, the word for angel means a messenger. So they are God's heavenly messengers, and they are seen in the scriptures as bringing God's message, God's word to people. You think of different stories in the Old Testament where that was certainly the case. So I think the first thing is we think of them as these spiritual beings. They don't have bodies like we do, although they can make an appearance as such. So we view them as spirits and not carnal beings.
Barry, is there, to put you on the spot, is there a biblical reason? You know, we often see pictures of angels as long flowing hair with wings and halos, and they look like men, and they, well, actually most of them look like women. But is there a biblical reason why we view them, why you're calling them spiritual beings who do not have bodies?
You can cut me out on this question because you stumped me. I don't know.
So I think
that is, you're trying to get at something that I'm not thinking of right at the moment. So
Barry, I think that's an important point to make. You know, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says they are ministering spirits. And when the Bible speaks of spirits, as we speak of God being a spirit, or God being spirit, that means they are without body. And that is an important aspect to angels and their existence. Anything else?
I thought you were trying to be more profound than that. Like, what?
You just stated they were spiritual beings, and I was just asking for a biblical reference.
Oh, I didn't realize you're asking for biblical reference.
I'm sorry.
Is there a biblical reason why that's important? And so I was trying to think of the biblical reason why that was important.
No, it was way more simple than that. So sometimes you think a little too hard about your words, Barry. No. So what do we know anything about the creation of angels, when angels were created? I mean, in the Bible, we read about the creation of man and inanimate creation and animals. But do we know anything about the creation of angels?
Other than that they were created. They are created beings. That's what I know.
Well, it says the very first verse of the Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. And I think that, you know, the other parts of the scripture talk about how that he created all the things that heaven and earth contains. So I believe they were created in the beginning there of the created order.
Yeah. You know, I think there's some biblical support to think that angels were some of the first of the creation. Job 38 says that the angels sang, the morning stars sang at creation, which is an allusion to the angelic host. So, well, what about, let's go into a little more, what are some of the types of angels? The Bible seems to specify different kinds of angels, and even with different kinds, you might even say an order and a hierarchy among the angels. Can you guys speak to that?
Well, we see certain archangels with Gabriel being one of them. And we see that there are different types of angels mentioned, such as the cherubim that guarded the Garden of Eden. The seraphim that seem to be even higher still, the ones that are described in Ezekiel and Revelation as being close very close to the throne of God. So I think there's certainly the biblical description of the angels are often called, you know, God's host, the Lord's host, his army. And so just like an army has generals and lieutenants and infantrymen all the way down the ranks, I think that we get the idea from Scripture, although that's not, I think, spelled out in tremendous detail, that there are different orders of angels and these heavenly beings that do the work of the Lord in greater or lesser fashion.
And I think it's dangerous for us to go any farther than that right there. When you start speculating, when you start, trying to read into the Bible, what angels do or, you know, all of those things, I think we get into dangerous territory where we're trying to give an answer to a question God hasn't given us the answer to. So I wouldn't want to go any farther than what Barry said.
Yeah, we start becoming like Frank Peretti.
Yeah.
We're not going to get into Frank Peretti gave me nightmares.
Oh, I know.
Nightmares in eighth grade. We were camping in the middle of the woods in Colorado, and I read a Frank Peretti book, and I woke up with night terrors. It was a horrible experience. So. Anyway,
you're getting angels have been scaring you your whole life.
They have. It's terrible. I think, you know, we do need to have some moderation when we come to think about the kinds and the orders of angels. I think Barry's right. There are archangels, which most systematic theologians have said, you know, that seems to indicate a hierarchy, and what that is exactly has not been revealed to us. But, you know, there are distinctions between the cherubim and the seraphim. Louis Burkhoff talks about how the cherubim are often put forth in Scripture as those who guard the holiness of God. You think of the cherubim at the entrance to the garden, or the one that was sewn into the curtain in the temple. And he says, whereas the seraphim seem to be those who really serve the purpose of preparing us to approach God. In a way, is what Louis Burkhoff says. But Scripture also speaks of principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions, which are often related by commentators to the angelic host. And then there's Gabriel and there's Michael, the two named angels in all of Scripture. Well, I guess another thing that I want to think about is, what are some of the powers of angels, and what are some of their limitations? We sometimes have these really superstitious ideas, but what are some of the powers that might accompany the angelic beings? They're called the mighty ones of God, but also what are the limitations that Scripture might give us warrant to understand about them?
I think I remember Calvin in speaking about the angels. I think it's from Psalm 104, his commentary. I don't have it before me. But as he's talking about the angels, you get this real sense that he believed that, you know, God is transcendent. We know he's above us, and yet he is very immanent. And one of the ways that he works out his immanency here in this world is that there's not a thing that happens without his direct control, and he's using these angels to accomplish his purposes. So in Psalm 104, it talks about how there are his ministering spirits, and Calvin goes on to talk about their presence in storms and winds and the things that are going on in this world. So they're carrying out the very work of God in what they're doing.
I think one of the best ways that we see the power or what angels can and cannot do, sadly, is how we see these fallen angels relate to Jesus, when he was on earth. They ask him permission. They recognize who he is, but they have to ask even God's permission. So they are not autonomous beings. They are not, you know, superpowers that are to be worshipped, but they also worship, as we see in Revelation. They also have to ask God permission to do things. So I think we can get away from this idea that they are like almost mini gods or have all of this power. They serve at the pleasure of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of the more important things that I think we need to understand about angels is they're not off doing their own thing, but they are serving the pleasure of the Lord.
I think it's worth noting too that, and I don't know if you're going to go this way or not, Kyle, but we also realize that there are fallen angels. Were you going to discuss that? We didn't talk about it beforehand, but
you really want to give me nightmares tonight, don't you? Yeah.
So the fallen angels, which Satan is one of, and his demonic hosts. So they also have powers here in this world that we see. We think about the demoniac, that the Gerasene demoniac that Jesus ultimately healed. But when he was asked his name, he said his name was Legion. So he was possessed by many demons, and he certainly had supernatural powers that he was exhibiting in his possessed state. So they do have a spiritual force, but as Scott is saying, it's all under the control, ultimately, and dominion of the Lord, because the Lord showed with the Gerasene demoniac that even the evil spirits are under his power.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing to remember. There is still a creature-creator distinction between God and angels. Angels do not possess the attributes of God, those incommunicable attributes. Things like omnipresence and omniscience and things like that. That's an important thing to note. Well, what about there's a lot of questions that swirl, common questions about angels. You know, do we have guardian angels? Do angels still make appearances today? Should I be looking on my dashboard when I'm driving on a snowy night and hope to see an angel sitting there with me? What do you guys think are some of those common questions? And maybe just briefly, how would you answer those questions?
Well, I don't know if, you know, I'd call an angel a guardian angel in the way that it might be viewed in popular culture, but certainly we are to have the expression or the thought, the faith of the psalmist, who says in Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. So the Lord does take care of us and uses angels to do that. It's funny that you started this off this way, because as I was thinking about this, the only time that I really believe that I've had an experience that I can't explain in any other way than God's angelic protection around me is when actually I was coming back from Marion, Scott, back to Kokomo in my pastoral ministry, and I fell asleep at the wheel of a car. And in the middle of the day, I'd been ill, and I just fell asleep, and my car went off the road, and I went down an embankment and then went up a side of a driveway and went airborne, according to witnesses. And I don't remember anything except waking up, and my airbags are blown, the horn's blaring, and I finally get the car to stop in front of some poor lady's house. But as I got out of there, I didn't have a scratch on me. And 50 yards back the other way, there were trees and steep hills, and there were cars coming the other direction. I could have gone that way, but I just felt like the Lord laid me down softly and gently with his hand there. And the next Lord's Day, when I went to pray my pastoral prayer, I was just overwhelmed by presence and goodness of God in my life, and it put me down on my knees as I started to pray. I just had to give God thanks for sparing my life. And so anyway, I do think that God does protect us. We obviously, because they're unseen beings, we don't often see their presence. But if you've ever been spared a great catastrophe or whatever, certainly the Lord is using his spirits to take care of his people.
I do two things of note about that story. One is Barry was not visiting me that time that he got the wreck, so you can't blame me for that. The second thing is I drove that way to church for about 15 years. And drove by that very spot and thought often about how the Lord protected Barry. And So I can attest to that. It was a very dangerous spot in the road.
And I went by that not too long ago when I was out in Indiana, that spot. And that embankment up the driveway now is a concrete wall. So there's also Providence to thank.
Well, that's great. Scott, were you going to add something?
The point being that, you know, my mind goes back to Elijah, I believe, I always get it mixed up. When they're ready to fight the battle and the servant is scared and he prays to open the servant's eyes and the servant sees all these angels around ready to protect Israel. And why should it be any different today than it was then? God doesn't change. We know that. And so we should not be surprised that there are angels ready to protect us, ready to preserve us. But again, to remember that they are servants of the Most High and not to be worshipped.
I think also along with that, I've been preaching in Revelation, and in chapters 1-3, it talks about the angel of the churches, and each congregation that's mentioned there in the churches of Asia have their own angel. And each message starts off to the angel of the church in Ephesus, right? And you know, there's different interpretations of what that might mean, but G.K. Beale in his commentary talks about how everywhere else in the book of Revelation, when it talks about angels, it's talking about these heavenly beings. And some of the interpretations that see that as the pastor of the church, for instance, being the messenger of the church there, what he really teaches, and I've come to think as well, is that we have in heaven, in the courtroom of God, these representatives that are concerned about what's going on in the lives of our congregation. And when the Lord needs to send something our way, he speaks to these angels and they act on our behalf. So it's not just that we have these little personal angels sitting on our shoulder or the dashboard of our cars, but that God has these beings that are there to protect us and to represent the interests of our congregations before him.
Well, we've really begun in some ways to scratch the surface. I remember a couple of years ago, we were doing, this was before we had evening worship in our congregation. We did an evening class, and by popular demand, a number of people had said they had grown up in the church and never heard any biblical teaching on angels. Mm. And we started to scratch the surface, but indeed many more things that we could talk about. But we do come to the end of this episode, and we want to thank our listeners for tuning in. Head over and visit us on our website, 3gt.xyz. Also, be sure to subscribe to our podcast over at iTunes. Leave us a review. We'd love to hear from our listeners. If you'd like us to answer any specific questions, please feel free to reach out and contact us. We would love to answer those. And remember, as you go, that every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.